The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the Music Store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action in Fairy House, a 7-race National Hunt card to look forward to there, some competitive races along the way and a very interesting beginner's chase as well. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate, good.
Good man. Not a bad card today in Fairy House.
Yeah, one or two nice races. Funny enough, the smaller field races seem to have attracted most of the attention. Of the race goes today and viewers alike. We've got the good novice hurdle to start off with. Very, very good beginner's chase. And we end with a beginner's chase also with six promising competitors in that race as well. So small fields, but interesting all the way.
Yeah, could be one or two nice horses, I'm sure. It goes hand in hand with domestic stuff today as well. We've got Q Card running at Exeter, of course. It's a good old day for a Tuesday, isn't it?
Very good, yeah. It's always a good day, isn't it, today with Holden Gold Cup Day at Exeter. And we're going to bring out some of the better horses as well. And Ireland seems to be going that way as well, obviously with Dan Rowland Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
And we saw some really good action there. So, it's beginning to warm up nicely.
Yeah, and you must be doubly excited this week because you've got a double dose of Dundalk.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, Wednesday and Friday. I think this is a first of what is going to be at least two race meeting weeks, isn't it? I think next week as well is the same. It's Wednesday, Thursday, next Friday next week.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah.
We're spoiled.
We are spoiled for choice. Yeah. Let's get stuck into today's action then, starting in the 12:55, which is a novice hurdle over 2.5 miles, a good novice hurdle as well. And Seamus heads the betting this morning and has been well backed from 4-5 into 8-13. 3-1 for Time for a Pint. Cillian's Return is 7-2, 11-1 for Speed Demon, and Animatopoeia makes up the field at 33-1. Well backed favourite here, the Desi Hughes runner, Seamus, but the betting also giving a bit of a chance to Time for a Pint and Cillian's Return. Do you see that way yourself?
Yeah, I mean, Cillian's Return is the one that kind of is the difficult one to work out amongst this field here. And because he's so weak in the betting this morning, it suggests that perhaps Time for a Pint is the one that's going to give the favourite the most to think about. I'm a big fan of Seamus. He hasn't produced anything spectacular on the speed figures, but the horses he's been beating have been a fairly useful standard throughout the autumn period. He started off that run with a good win in Quebec and followed it up at Galway when he beat Princely Connor, who I thought would run well that day. Back in third was a local theatre from the William Onion stable. So he took the scalp of a couple of good horses there. And then that race in Fairy House here, over course and distance, he won the last day, has worked out a treat. The third has won subsequently, Mille Forge, lowering the colours of a horse of Nelmead called Champion. And then Oscar Invitation went on to land a bit of a punt for connections down in Clonmel last week. Ruby Walsh has been booked, and because he's already got a win around the track, that's obviously got to stand him in good stead. And the ground at the moment is very crucial to this horse as well. He's definitely a better ground horse, and because the conditions either side of the RSC still remain quite favourable for these kind of horses, I'd imagine Seamus would probably go in again here. As I said, Cillian's Return would be the natural choice normally, but he's obviously got to pick himself up after a fairly modest run the other day when well fancied in a Grade 3 down in Tipperary, where he was eased off in the finish. But as the market suggests, I expect Seamus to continue his winning run.
Okay, Seamus in the 12:55. The 1:25 is the second race on the card. This is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and a sizing network heads the betting at 2-1. 3-1 for Mary's Choice, bit of a nibble from 7-2. Wildebeest is 7-2, 9-2 for Crown of Gold. Who Told Jan is 5-1, and then 12s or bigger prices for the others. Just starting with the market leader here on the sizing network. His form's not brilliant. He was lucky to win a point to point at Puncher's Town when Upmost Zeal came down late on when well clear, then didn't run his race really, or there must have been something amiss when disappointing in a point-to-point bumper at this course last season. Makes his reappearance here. The yard are in fine form, Andy, and what do you make of him at the top of the betting?
Yeah, it's just a difficult one to assess, as you said, Mark. His overall profile isn't exactly rock solid or watertight in any way. You know, finishing last in a bumper doesn't exactly make you want to take 2-1 about him on his hurdling debut. He got beat 121 lengths. He didn't show a great deal. Mary's Choice's form just looked ordinary. They went a very slow gallop in that bumper the other day, won by Snow Falcon. Don't really fancy her either. And to be fair, Wildebeest has got questions to ask as well. He was a bitter disappointment on his only start. And it's always interesting that a horse like that doesn't even make the Nolmead stable tour that he had the other day in the Racing Post, suggesting that he's not much cop. So the front three in the market, we've all got one or two negatives here. So I suggest we back the next two in the betting and hope for a bit of a touch. I think Crown of Gold will step up markedly on what he's already achieved. He was in a decent bumper on his last start here at Fairy House behind Martello Tower. One or two nice tops were in that race, of course, and the form has already been boosted. The winner's gone in again. And obviously Jim Colotti now really hitting the big time with the Gold Cup prize on his mantelpiece. Then I'd expect his horses to improve even more so as the year goes on and his career goes forward. So I think Crown of Gold will outrun his odds here. And the other one to mention is Who Told Jan, a filly by Beneficial, just had the one start. Came in a very hot maiden at the Punchestown Festival. Sorry, hot bumper in the Punchestown Festival behind Morning Run and Carrigmore Rock. As we've seen, that race has worked out really well. The winner's won a couple of races over hurdles, and she looks as though she's going to take high rank over Timber for Willie Mullins this season. And it wasn't a bad effort by this Desi Hughes train horse, who kept on quite nicely in the latter stages, having got out pace around the turn. Roger Lockham takes over from her having to pilot today, and I certainly think she could run well as well. So two against the field there, Crown of Gold and Who Told Jan.
Okay, a couple against the field there then. In the 125, the 155 is race 3 on the card, and this is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles for 4-year-olds and older, rated 80 to 109. And Colopia is the 100 to 30 market leader and has been supported from 11 to 2. 7 to 2 for Linda's Choice, 11 to 2 for Leave at Dawn, 7 to 1 for Snapchat, High Net Worth is 8. And then 10 to 1 or bigger prices for the others. Interesting money this morning for Colopia, Andy, because she's done all right in a couple of hurdles so far. She chased home It's All an Act over this trip at Punchestown, which looks pretty decent form. The tongue tie goes on with the hood today as well, and the money's come. So what do you make of Colopia?
Yeah, I think she's one of the best bets on the card, to be perfectly honest. No great surprise to see her well back this morning. She has been 5 to 1. One or two early birds have snaffled up the value. And it's hard to see her not finishing the framework, to be perfectly honest. Her overall profile is good. It's very much going in the right direction. And that run here last time out, it's a Punchestown, very similar tracks, of course. I think he's probably the best piece of form coming into this race. Got beat by that in-form Shark Hanlon horse, It's All an Act. Probably looked like winning, if I'm being highly critical. But because the winner is in such good nick, he managed to outrun Colopia late on. But I certainly don't think it was any disrespect to finish second to that horse. Time of the race is good, and Diamond Dame, who was 6, has won subsequently down in Clonmel the other day. So like I say, it's very hard to knock the form. Trained as well by Patrick Mooney, who trains in Ashbourne, which is just down the road there in County Meath. I think it's only about 5 miles is the way the crow flies to get to the track. So certainly got everything in its favour here. And you know, if you can get an each way price, you know, you could still nick a bit of each way value there with that horse.
Okay, on to the 225, the fourth race on the card, and this is another handicap hurdle. This one's over 2.5 miles, and it's for 4-year-olds and older, rated 80 to 102. And the betting is headed by joint favourites this morning, Road to the Island and Faritza are both 7-2, but Faritza has come in for market support, 9-2 into 7-2. 5-1 for Joe the Painter, 5-1 for Strain of Fame as well, 7s for the Doctor's Daughter, Grudy Hill is 10-1, and then 12s or bigger for the others. One of the more open races on the card, Andy. So what are your thoughts on the 225?
Yeah, Faritza, he's a difficult one to get your head around in many respects. It's one of these ones that has been running well over fences, and obviously rattled up a quick sequence towards the back end of last jump season before tailing off for the summer, and obviously being brought back now over hurdles off a mark of just 81. His last run, he won off a mark of 102, so potentially very well handicapped, of course, if he could take to the smaller obstacles. But I'm never normally massive buyer into that theory. I know it happens the odd time here, then everywhere, as Tammy's Hill proved the other day. But, you know, even Tammy's Hill struggled off a mark £30 lower than what his chasing mark suggested. So I always think that they're worth opposing in general. And I quite like Strain of Fame here. Ran about a 5-6-1 chance on the morning line. Had its first run for New Connections, Shark Hanlon, when a most unlucky loser of the day down in Thurles. He came with a strong run up the inside rail. He looked as though he was going to go away and win quite comfortably. Unfortunately, he just dived at the last and sent Kate O'Farrell tumbling to the turf. That race has worked out well already down in Thurles. The third stop road lad has won subsequently. So the fact that Strain of Fame gets the race off the same mark here and has won over marks higher than its current rating suggests that I think Shark Hanlon's clearly got a tune out of this horse. Ground should be fine. Trip we know is absolutely ideal. I expect a massive run today from Strain of Fame.
Okay, Strain of Fame in the 2.25. We move on to the 2.55 next race, 5 on the card, and a beginner's chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and a good beginner's chase as well. The Tullow Tank heading the betting at 8-15. Marla Beach is 2-1, 8-1 for Azorian, 16 for Riverside City, and then 22-1 or bigger prices for the others. The Tullow Tank, Andy, is a horse I like from a personal perspective, a dual grade 1 winner as a novice, and chased home Vator, who went on to win the Supreme on his final start and went off favourite in that race as well, which shows how high esteem he was held in. Marla Beach was an easy winner of a Grade 2 last season, a decent novice the year before that as well, so an interesting matchup between the two.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, Mark, this is the best race on the day, obviously, other than the Holden Gold Cup. Two very, very highly regarded hurdlers lock swords over fences for the first time. It's hard to know which way to go, really, with these two, because I've got a massive amount of time, like you have, for both horses, including the Tullow Tank, who is a winner of two Grade 1s, as you say. He won the Royal Bond here back in December, beating a very good field, which contained none other than Very Wood, of course, went on to win the Albert Bartlett, to name but one. He then won the Future Champions at Leopardstown, again, in impressive fashion. And at that time, he was favourite for the Supreme and Novices Hurdle. Unfortunately, he had his wings clipped a little bit by Vator in the Deloitte and Touche Novices Hurdle, back at the same track. And, of course, he unfortunately had to miss the gig. Obviously, one or two negatives with regard to the train at the time, Philip Fenton. And now he's, of course, gone with Desi Hughes. He's always looked a chaser in the making. He's obviously got a good bit of class. And, you know, he's 150-odd horse over hurdle. So, you know, if he jumps a clear round, he's going to make life very difficult for Marla Beach. But I'm also a huge, huge fan of Marla Beach. I actually backed this horse to win last year's World Hurdle off the back of a sensational performance in the Galway Hurdle at Garran Park the last time we saw him. In a very fast time, he beat a good field pretty easily, which of course contained Jetson, who went on to win at Aintree, and of course the Grade 1 at Punchestown. So the fact that he was 20 lengths back in third just shows you how good Gordon Elliott's charge is. But the problem with Marla Beach is he arguably wants a little bit further than 2 mile 5, and he would want softer ground. I think Gordon Elliott pretty much avoids fast ground when he can, but he's got to start somewhere with this horse. So I think the modus operandi for Robbie Corgan with Marla Beach would be to get him round safely. If he can win, fine, but if not, if he's finding the Tullow Tank too quick for him, then don't knock him about and don't get him on the floor. So it might well be that the Tullow Tank only today gets the better of Marla Beach, but I think Marla Beach out of these two is the one that I'll be following going forward.
Yeah, two potentially really nice chasers in action there in the 2.55. The 3.25 is the penultimate race this afternoon, and this one is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs for 4-year-olds and older, rated 0-102. 6-1 joint favourites in the shape of Kilmurry Kid and Survival, 7-1 for Witness of Fashion and Chantala, and Naughty Molly as well. 8-1 for All or Now. Vicalis is 9-1, and then 10s or bigger prices for the others. 6-1 the field. Andy, what are your thoughts in the 3.25?
Yeah, not for the faint hearted this race. I've got an overly strong view in these circumstances. I usually go with horses that, if you like, I've gone with before, and I know they're going to run solidly for the podcasters. And that horse in question is Chantala, a horse that I've gone for on quite a few occasions. But to be fair, he's always done me proud. He's always finished in the frame, and that's what I'm looking for in a race like this. I want something that's going to run well and, run up to his best level. And Chantala's pretty much guaranteed to do that. And if he does, then he should be in there or thereabouts again. He's been running really well over hurdles, acquitting himself quite admirably in good races such as Cork and Thurles last time out. In that race, of course, Stop Road Lad was fourth, and the aforementioned Strain of Fame fell at the last. He's very much better renowned for his exploits over the larger obstacles. His last run over fences, came back in 2013. This time last year, funny enough, when he was third behind Golden Ticket at Navan. And that run should at least you know, give him enough chance to finish in the frame here. So he's around about a 7-1 chance this morning. The sound jumping, very consistent Chantala is the obvious choice there for me in the 325.
Chantala there then in the 3.25, and the final race this afternoon is the 3.55. We finish with another beginner's chase over 2 miles. This one is equally interesting. The Boss's Cousin, well, maybe not equally, but it's another interesting race. The Boss's Cousin is 15-8, 9-4 for Lord Adair. King Leon is 4-1, 6s for Tis a Mystery, 7-1 for Royal Revel, and 9-1 for Sin Miedo or Sin Miedo. So what are your thoughts in the lucky last, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, as you quite rightly say, we don't have the quality that we do with the other beginners' chase, but arguably we have just as much intrigue and certainly have a more competitive race. You know, you could make cases out for all six here and not be laughed out of town. Lord Adair's very interesting run. He's had 3 runs in his life, and they've all come at Limerick. I'm not sure why that horse has just applied his trade down at that particular venue, but he obviously clearly likes going right-handed, and he likes a bit of soft ground as well. He had to show battling qualities to win the last time we saw him. He's useful, but, you know, nothing to get massively carried away about. The Boss's Cousin is sort of like the one that causes punters most, you know, speculation here, because he's basically a 3-mile horse. I know he's won 2 races, and he's only 2 races have come over 2 miles, but the fact that he ran in the Albert Bartlett on his sort of biggest stage to date, that was back in 2012, and his novice chase debut came over 3 miles when he was cantering and looking as though he was going to win until falling at the second last, suggests that Willie Mullins does think this horse also is a stayer. So it's interesting, after the best part of a year off, that he comes back and he's racing over the minimum trip. So he is a difficult one to sort of pigeonhole, really. I certainly think he's got the best engine of this field, and if he can just jump a clear round, and that is the big if, then I suspect he might just be good enough for these. The fact that Connections won a similar race to this with a horse called Perfect Gentleman the other day in the same colours suggests that his novice chasers are in a good place at the moment, and he also got a very favourable mention from Willie Mullins in his stable tour as well yesterday. You would have thought a horse like this, 9-year-old, only seven races, he's been off the track for a while, wouldn't even get a mention, but he was quite complimentary about this horse's chances. So tentatively, I'll go with the master trainer here, with Willie Mullins, with the Boss's Cousin.
Yeah, tricky one to work out, but reportedly schooling well, so
exactly.
That's good news, isn't it? Okay, let's have a quick summary then, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Fairy House one more time.
Yeah, good day today, Fairy House. Really looking forward to quite a few of these races. Seamus, hopefully, will keep the bandwagon going in the first race, and he could complete the nap hand there. In the 125, 2 against the field, Crown of Gold and Hultol Jan to upset the upper card to the main 3 in the betting. Probably my best bet in the card has to be Colapier each way in the 155. I think she'll go really well. Strain of Fame was unlucky the last day. Hopefully he can make amends today with a clear round. The 255 is the most intriguing race of the day for me, and I'm going to probably go with the Tullow Tank, but just on this occasion, I think for the rest of the season, I definitely want to get with the Marla Beach. I think he's a really promising horse over fences. Chantala each way in the 325. Yet again has to be the vote. And in the final race, I'm hoping that the drop in trip doesn't inconvenience the chances of the Boss's Cousin.
Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with those selections, and enjoy Fairy House this afternoon.
Yep, and I'll speak to you tomorrow for Dundalk.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.